why are flying foxes so crucial to the environment?
So we're all familiar with bees being pollinators for the flowers and fruit and seed. Flying foxes are a giant bee, and they pollinate the trees across the landscape. And no other animal in our country flies the distances that flying foxes fly, connecting the trees across the landscape.
Wow, okay. So they do the same job or similar job as bees?
They do, but at a much, much larger scale. So bees are moving a couple of kilometres, and so they're great for those trees that are all next to each other. A flying fox can be foraging in Sydney and then fly up to Newcastle, and it can cross-pollinate the trees that are flowering, if they're the same species, in both of those locations. And so now we're getting gene transfer across the landscape rather than just at a very local scale.
Yeah, wow. And if that was to stop, say if they were like unable to migrate, what impact would this have on the ecosystem?
So climate change is a huge issue that we're all talking about. One of the things that we identify is that it's going to get hotter in large parts of Australia. And so we say there's some work that's been done that says the eucalypts that are growing in Queensland, southeast Queensland, for example, they're actually going to be pre-adapted to the climate of Sydney that it's going to be in 20-odd years, so, or 30, 40 years. So those genes being part of the trees in, here in the Sydney region is actually a real benefit for the longevity and survival of those species at this local scale. And so the only way for those genes to move from, say, Brisbane to Sydney is either with a flying fox or with a human. Think of them much like a bee getting pollen all over them. And so with the flying foxes, they get pollen all over their nose and on their fur, on their body. And then they fly up over 300 kilometers they can fly in a single night. And so they can then be stopping along the way and cross-pollinating the same flowers of the same tree species that they interact with along that landscape. So if those Sydney blue gum, which is just a local name, but it grows across large parts of eastern Australia, if it's flowering in Brisbane and it's flowering in Sydney, and that happens to forage on it here in up in Brisbane and then fly down to Sydney, and it's still got some pollen on it, it's now cross-pollinating those flowers with the genes, so the genetics of the tree up in Brisbane.
Yeah,
it's,
wow.
It's a pretty dramatic example. But, yeah. But the simple point is the flying foxes that we see in our urban environments quite often are actually, they're readily moving across the landscape, and they're connecting the trees that they're foraging upon across that landscape. And whether that's Sydney to Melbourne or Melbourne to Adelaide, Sydney to Brisbane, and there are no, the birds don't move as far as quickly, so they don't provide that pollination service, and the insects definitely don't move as far as quickly. So it's the flying foxes, the fruit bats, that are the major pollen commuters across the larger landscape.
Yeah, wow. Wow, that's really interesting. So they're essentially like the carriers of new life, like bees on a much larger scale. That's incredible. Essentially, why is the flying fox in danger?
When we talk about any threatened species, whether it's a plant or an animal or a fungi or anything else out there, loss of habitat is the biggest factor. And so, you know, if you go for a drive from Sydney to Brisbane, you'll see that large parts of the landscape are now agriculture and urban environments, and they used to be woodlands. And so there's less food around for the flying foxes in some ways. In other ways, there's actually different food resources available in urban environments because we plant different species. But habitat loss is the simple answer there.
Yeah, right. And so with habitat loss and all of the other factors, what work is being done around to try and, you know, help and resolve this problem?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. So they're a protected species because all native species are protected in New South Wales. And then if they're listed as vulnerable to extinction or a higher level, or endangered or critically endangered, there are greater protections on those species. So, for instance, if there was a development that was going to be happening, and that might be a big road or a railway or urban area or a farm, and it was going to have to clear important habitat for the flying foxes, well, then there'd be questions asked about what, how can we ameliorate that issue, or should we just not have that development happen at all so that it doesn't impact the flying foxes? So there's some of the ways. Other ways are that their roosting habitat in particular, that we're probably most familiar with seeing flying foxes roosting in large numbers in different places, that those areas are protected so that they can maintain those habitats. And that's important because they also, of course, breed where they roost. So it's important for reproduction.
Well, that's really interesting. Thank you so much for joining me today, John. This has been absolutely eye-opening, you know, to think that before this interview, I could not differentiate between a flying fox and a bat. I can now differentiate between a flying fox and a bat and understand why they're so important to, you know, to our whole ecosystem. Yeah, so that's absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for joining us.
Cheers, man. Have a great day.
Thank you.